Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. St. Paul, in the epistle of today's Mass, is writing to the Catholics in Jerusalem, who are converts from Judaism. We do not know the motive of St. Paul's writing of this epistle, but there is a hint in it that these Catholics were entertaining the idea of returning to Judaism. The whole epistle, therefore, emphasizes the fact that the Old Law, with its Aaronic priesthood, the priesthood of Aaron, its sacrifices of animals in the Old Temple, that this Old Law is done. And the New Law is now in vigor, in which our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is both high priest and victim of sacrifice, the new temple being heaven itself. The Church places this text of the epistle at the beginning of Passiontide, when it is contemplating the suffering and the death of Christ. The statues are covered in purple to signify both our mourning of his death and the concentration of our minds on this most holy act of his passion. We are to understand from the epistle, therefore, that we are not merely mourning the death of someone we love, but rather we are also witnessing the great priestly act of all time by which the cup of human sin shall be drained out. In order to understand this epistle, it is necessary to have a knowledge of the Old Testament priesthood and sacrifices. Spotless animals would be offered in a bloody manner by the Old Testament priests to God. Before sacrificing the animal, the priests would lay their hands upon it, indicating the transfer of all their intentions of the sacrifice to the victim. In the same way, the priest places his hands over the chalice just before he is about to perform the consecration. The animal would then be killed, and the priest would then offer the blood of the victim to God. And it was the offering of the blood which was considered the essence of the sacrifice. And while it was permitted for a layperson to offer a sacrifice by killing an animal, only the priest could offer the blood. That was considered the essence of the sacrifice. These sacrifices happened every day in the temple. Once a year, however, on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would enter the Holy of Holies, the most sacred part of the temple, which contained the Ark of the Covenant, and there he would offer a special sacrifice for sin. It was in the course of offering this sacrifice that the angel Gabriel appeared to Zachary in the temple, telling him that his wife Elizabeth would bear a son whose name would be John. And because he did not believe for a moment, he was struck dumb, and he remained dumb until the time that they were giving the child the name, and he said, "His name shall be called John." The idea of the sacrificial victim in the Old Testament was twofold. As the sacrifice of adoration and praise, the killing of the victim signified the nothingness of the human creature before God the Creator, and the willingness of the creature to give up his life to the Creator. And secondly, as a sacrifice of atonement, the killing of the victim indicated the admission on the part of men that they deserve death for their sins. These sacrifices happened, as I said, daily in the temple. But they had no efficacy with regard to the removal of sin. They accomplished only an external justification, a justification of the flesh, as St. Paul says, and not of the spirit. There was no interior cleansing of the soul. For the entire old law was based on external holiness, legal cleanliness, this being a prefiguration of the interior spiritual holiness which would come by the new law. The old law, despite its many sacrifices, could not give grace and could not relieve the consciences of men of their sins. As imperfect as the old sacrifices were, so were the priests. They were born of men and were mortal. They were consecrated only with oil. Their moral lives were often wanting. And as priests, they could not accomplish the true reconciliation of their people to God, as they lacked the means to absolve them of their sins. They could not even offer an adequate sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, since the offering of animals, while a holy thing in itself and ordered by God in the book of Leviticus, failed to offer to God what was truly His due. They were imperfect priests in an imperfect priesthood. St. Paul is pointing out here that Christ is the perfect high priest. He is the perfect high priest because He is essentially a mediator between God and man. Because Christ is both God and man, He is the perfect priest. You cannot even consider or conceive of a more perfect priest than someone who is both God and man. He is a priest not anointed with oil, but anointed with divinity itself. He is the perfect priest because, as head of the human race, He is our perfect and natural representative. He is the new Adam. He is the perfect priest because He has the vocation from His Father that He should offer Himself up as victim for our sins. For every priest must have a vocation from God to do what he does. He cannot of himself undertake to represent men to God and to represent God to men. He needs his vocation. St. Paul, referring to the fact that the Old Testament sacrifices are worthless against sin, says this from the same epistle, "For it is impossible that with the blood of oxen and goats sin should be taken away. Wherefore, when he," that is Christ, "came into the world, he saith, sacrifice and oblation thou wouldst not, but a body thou hast fitted to me, holocausts for sin did not please thee. Then said I," meaning Christ, speaking to his Father, "behold, I come, in the head of the book it is written of me, that I should do thy will, O God." St. Paul goes on to explain that the words of Christ, "Behold, I come to do thy will, O God," indicate that he is taking away the old sacrifices and substituting himself as the one perfect sacrifice. Therefore, Christ is not only perfect priest, he is also perfect victim. His sacred humanity is the sacrificial victim. No more perfect victim can be conceived. than he who is both God and man. The Blessed Virgin Mary, although free from sin and absolutely perfect in holiness, if she had offered herself in sacrifice, would have been an infinitely less perfect victim. Because this, and even her sacrifice would not have been sufficient to atone for a single sin. Because the sacred humanity is united to the second person of the Blessed Trinity, the sacrifice of it, that is, the sacred humanity, on the cross has infinite value and is infinitely pleasing to God and provided an infinite treasure of reparation for sin, propitiation, forgiveness, and mercy. Furthermore, Christ the High Priest offering himself as victim does not enter a tabernacle made by human beings, referring to the temple, but rather enters into the Holy of Holies of heaven itself. He presents in heaven to his Father as Son of God, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, the merits of the sacrifice of Calvary. And whereas the Old Testament priest had to enter every year into the earthly Holy of Holies of the temple to make reparation for sin, Christ entered but once. Since there is no need to repeat this perfect sacrifice accomplished by the perfect priest in the perfect Holy of Holies, which is the divine throne itself in heaven. And here it should be understood that the holy sacrifice of the Mass is not a repetition of the sacrifice of Calvary, but a renewal of the very same sacrifice. Priest and victim on Calvary are our Lord Jesus Christ. Priest and victim at the Mass are our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the very same sacrifice of Calvary, renewed, extended through time, owing to the ineffable mystery of the real presence of Christ in the Holy Eucharist. The same our Lord Jesus Christ in the same sacrifice. All the same. Our Blessed Lord spoke very often about his hour. His first mention of it is in the first act of his public life when he said to our Blessed Lady, "My hour is not yet come." His hour refers to this moment of his passion, this moment that we are entering into now in Passiontide, when he would give himself up to his enemies to be sacrificed for the sins of men. He began this holy sacrifice at the very moment of his conception in Our Lady's womb when he said, "Behold, I come to do thy will, O God." He continued it when he was born into the cold and the poverty of Bethlehem, when he fled from the sword of Herod, when he lived in the poverty of Nazareth, when he fasted in the desert, when he had not a place to lay his head as he conducted his sacred ministry, as he patiently accepted the insults and the faithlessness of the Pharisees, the endless traps and snares that they set for him, their plottings, their wickedness, and finally today, their stoning. And now, in Passion Tide, we come to our Lord's hour. It is at once the hour of suffering and the hour of joy. At once the hour of shame and the hour of glory. At once the hour of defeat and the hour of victory. The hour of sin and the hour of propitiation for sin. The hour of human injustice and of divine mercy. The hour of death and the hour of resurrection from the dead. Our Lord will pray in the Garden of Olives as he sweats the beads of blood. Kneeling, he will say, "Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son might glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he may give eternal life to all whom thou hast given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. And now glorify thou me, O Father, with thyself, with the glory which I had before the world was with thee." This is truly the hour of our Lord Jesus Christ. 43 days later, from that very same spot on which those words were pronounced, those words of priestly prayer, where he begged his Father for those for whom he would die, for their souls, that priestly prayer in which he said to him, "Sanctify them in truth." From that very same spot in which he was arrested and bound, like the animals that were bound for sacrifice in the temple. From that spot, 43 days later, he would ascend, triumphant, glorious, the eternal high priest entering the Holy of Holies of heaven, to be in his sacred human nature as the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the eternal victim for sin, distributing graces through the holy sacrifice of the Mass, interceding for sinners by the power of his precious blood offered before the divine throne. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.